We go and grab a quick bite.
We watch a movie, then fight.
We're the Fast Food Film Friends.
You know, Kevin, our show is named Fast Food Film Friends.
Is it? Is that what we settled
on? And if you break that down, you got fast food. Because you and I love some good grub.
Sure do.
Film, because what's better than just a nice movie on a rainy Sunday?
I agree.
But you know what the most important word of that phrase is? Food, because without it, we would die.
That's right, Nathan. And this week, we'll be talking about A Star is Born, starring Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. And we'll be eating KFC's famous bowls.
From IMDb, the plot summary of A Star is Born reads as follows. A musician helps a young singer and actress find fame, even as age and alcoholism send his own career into a downward spiral.
That's a pretty good synopsis, actually. That's one of the more accurate, succinct synopsi that we've ever read.
Synapses.
We're getting into brain chemistry now. And from KFC.com, the famous bowl is described as such. Creamy mashed potatoes, sweet corn, and bite-sized chunks of crispy chicken are layered together and then drizzled with home-style gravy and topped with a perfect blend of three shredded cheeses. Perfect blend.
Now, Kevin, which of these do you think is more quintessentially American? Country music or fried chicken?
Wow, that's tough. I would probably have to say country music.
Here's the thing. Is fried chicken actually legal worldwide?
Because
I don't know, with like...
Live frying isn't. You want to kill the chicken first before you fry.
Because the European Union is just... They're taking over these days. And I don't know what's allowed and what's not.
Well, that's why Britain's getting out, you know?
Brexit, as we all know, breaded chicken exit.
Correct. That's what it stands for. That's absolutely right. And I think they're making the right move. Because who's the European Union to tell them how to do their chicken?
In the meantime, let's dig into some Nimble News.
Oh yeah, let's get into that.
Nimble News.
Nimble News is a part of the show where we review all things new as quickly as we can do. New music, shows, purchases, experiences, or even new food or movies that we don't have time for in our main discussion. Nathan, are you ready?
I am.
And go.
I tried Red Lobster's Endless Shrimp for the first time last week, and even though our server did a great job of keeping those crustaceans coming all night long, I was pretty underwhelmed with the experience. I did enjoy the sesame ginger grilled shrimp, but the other varieties that I tried, such as the crunchy fiesta shrimp or the shrimp linguine alfredo, didn't really do much for me. However, I did start the meal with about 4 cheddar biscuits, so all in all, it was still a pretty good dinner.
I can't hear the word cheddar biscuits.
No moaning.
Not moan. I just realized I really didn't. That was so involuntary. I can't help it. I watched an episode of Martha Stewart's Cooking School on PBS. She was making some onion soup and was topping it with some cheese, and she gave me my new favorite strategy for cheese rationing. She says, use all of it. You grated it. You deserve it. And I will now be grating as much cheese as I want. Thank you, Martha. The show itself, pretty good.
I watched Tag, which is a comedy based on the true story of a group of middle-aged men who play a month-long game of tag once a year. The movie had some funny one-liners and a few great slow-motion scenes depicting the intensity of the game, but overall, it was a letdown, especially considering how strong this film's cast is. I definitely recommend waiting to catch this one on Netflix. Also, Kevin, you're it, and there's no tagbacks.
Am I the only other one playing? I started reading Dan Brown's new book, Origin. If you have read any of his previous adventures with Robert Langdon, such as Angels and Demon or The Da Vinci Code, you will probably enjoy this one as well. I'm about halfway through, and I would say it's on par with the rest of his little Robert Langdon series, and I would highly recommend picking up a copy.
I recently ate some homemade pumpkin chocolate chip muffins that were given to my fiancé and I from our friend Carly's mother, Lenore. And I just want to say, Lenore, if you're listening to this podcast, those muffins were the most delicious pumpkin treats I've eaten in my entire life. Every moist, chocolatey bite brought with it a sense of joy and warmth, similar to the feeling of hugging a loved one or cuddling with a dog. They were simply wonderful.
I finally got around to watching the movie Love, Simon, and although I hated almost every character in that movie, I cried like a baby, and Tony Hale as the principal was one of my all-time favorite movie characters. Overall, give it a watch, but kind of only if it really just you stumble upon it. I wouldn't go out of your way, and I wouldn't pay money for it, but I did cry. So if you need a good cry, check out Love, Simon.
I played the new edition of Super Mario Party for the Nintendo Switch with some friends the other night, and I had a blast. The game boards for the classic party mode are fun and inventive, but the game offers a lot of new content to keep things fresh, like a cooperative mode, online multiplayer, and a handful of one-off minigames that are more complex than the ones you play in party mode, but still simple enough that anyone could pick up a controller and learn them in a few seconds. On a side note, be sure to stretch your arm out real good before playing the marching band minigame, or else your elbow will still be sore 2 days later.
I picked up a Matador Flaming Hot Beef Stick at the gas station the other day, and while delicious, the only thing that was flaming hot was my rage when I discovered it to be a rather mild spice level. Good, but not as advertised.
Well, that's all the time we have for Nimble News this week. Now let's move on to our review of A Star Is Born and KFC's Famous Bowls.
Now, Nathan, have you ever had a KFC Famous Bowl?
I have never had one. I've never even seen one in real life.
Oh.
And I will say, my first impression, this is a lot of chicken.
Oh, yeah. They don't
very,
skimp.
Very impressed.
They do not skimp on the bowls. Now, for me, these bowls were a big staple of my high school diet. Me and my buddies, they came out right when I was in high school, initially. I think they were a limited menu item back then, actually. And I was a huge fan. It looks like they've tweaked either the size of the bowl or one other thing is missing. I think they used to have something else in these.
You added hard drugs.
Oh, we did add a lot of, yeah, hallucinogenic drugs.
Yep.
Should we go for it?
Let's do it.
Make sure you get a good potato corn.
I look at my bite right now.
Popcorn chicken, gravy, good cheese.
I have as much as my spork will fit.
All right. I do love the sporks, too. Oh, man. It's everything that KFC does right.
Wow.
In one convenient little bowl.
It is.
And it is, I don't know, the textures oddly work well, even though it just basically turns to mush.
It's the regurgitated leftovers from the KFC kitchen after a long, a long day of...
You're scraping the bottom of each pan, putting it into a bowl, and getting this delightful little treat. You could basically blend all these things together, and they could make a KFC famous shake, and I would eat it through a straw.
That could have made it for a good spoiler snack.
That would have been a good spoiler snack. We'll have to get KFC on that. I guess we could self-blend, too. It's pretty good. It's just pretty good.
It's delicious.
Now, I see you... See, I take the step of stirring mine all together, mixing it up, getting my chicken coated in mashed potatoes, the gravy, the three cheese blend, corns all mixed in there. You're more kind of eating it like a guy eating a pie, maybe. You know, you're scooping from the top, taking a section by section, which I appreciate, but...
It's like a little seven-layer dip right here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to kind of keep things separated as much as possible to really be able to differentiate those flavors and textures.
See, I like the blend. That's why I go for the blend. That's why I recommended the blender. I like to mix things up. And speaking of mixing things up, Bradley Cooper likes to drink a little bit in this movie and mix it with some little drugs, I think the kids call them.
Before we get ahead of ourselves, getting the weeds here, tell me about your expectations of this movie.
Going into it?
And how it measured up.
I'm not a big country music fan myself. I'm not a big Bradley Cooper in a serious role fan. I'm not a big Lady Gaga acting fan. I guess I haven't seen her act in much else. Trailers for this I thought looked terrible. I thought it was a cheesy title. It looked like a very cheesy movie. So I did not think I was going to enjoy this movie at all. I went in thinking, man, I wish we were doing another movie this week. And I left thinking, that's going to be nominated for Best Picture. And I think one of the two main stars will be nominated for Best Actor or Actress. And I loved this movie. I was blown away by how much I appreciated this movie, actually. It was not at all what I expected. It was barely even country music, actually. Like, they really advertise poorly. I guess it's just a cowboy hat and a trailer that made me assume that, but... It was definitely not what I expected. How about you?
I think for our listeners who are expecting a punching match of words between you and I, as we so often do on this show, they're going to be so disappointed because I adored this movie.
And
I also had almost rock bottom expectations.
Mine were rock bottom as well. Yeah.
And the only thing that I was actually excited for he was good. I was interested in seeing him. But I actually am a fan of some of Lady Gaga's music. 5 or 6 years ago, I was more of a fan of her, around the Fame Monster. And that was probably more than 5 or 6, but her Fame Monster days, I think her music was excellent. So I know that she's capable of making music I really enjoy. Yep. So because of that, I thought to myself, this is probably just going to be a fluffy, just dumb story that serves as a backdrop for a soundtrack.
Yes.
I, from the very beginning, from the first scene of this movie, I was so into it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we have a lot to talk about in our spoiler segment.
Big time.
This movie goes places that I never would have guessed it would.
No.
This movie is long.
It's a very long movie. And that's another thing that I went in thinking, this is a almost 2.5 hour long movie that I'm going to not like. And I honestly, like, by the end of it, and again, I think it's the way that it's put together. I think Bradley Cooper did a great job directing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much, the pacing is just great. It's tremendous.
It is excellent.
You know, the first probably third of the movie unfolds over a couple of days, but it's cut together so well that you're never bored. Nothing ever lingers. There's always things going on. There's new information. It's just, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's like, the pacing was phenomenal to me. I wrote pacing down like 6 times in my notes.
Cause well,
I was
like, wow. And like you said, like, it's all these vignettes, and there's scenes where, because like this story covers so much in these people's lives. And so like, it can't spend 5 to 10 minutes on each scene. And so there's scenes where you're like interested to see what happens, and then it just goes to the next scene.
Yep.
Completely just cuts off before you get to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
But like, at no point did I feel like I was actually like missing out on something. Like,
yeah,
getting, like you're getting these like bite-sized glimpses, but that's all you need.
It is. It's just the string. It's like a little trail of breadcrumbs, just strings you along, but you know you're heading the right direction.
It's very much about feelings, mm-hmm. you know? Like, it's just, everything is just like evoking so much emotion.
Yes. And did you cry in this movie?
Oh my God. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Cooper's character, there's kind of like this recurring theme throughout the movie about how if you're going to make it, you have to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an artist, yeah. I mean, I think it can be applied more generally. Just like, if you're going to be creative and expect people to care,
yeah,
you can't listen to what your manager tells you or what the fans say or what your label says. You have to just like look inward and speak from the heart.
I think the Dalai Lama said it best when he said, do you.
That was him, yeah.
Do you.
If that's trademark, we might have to clear that with our legal team. Oof. Before including this.
Well, it's a good thing we have an extensive legal team. We've got about 6 or 7 paralegals running around here.
No, just to be clear, those are parakeets that went to law school.
Correct, yes. They just listened in on all the classes, so most of the time they're wrong, but sometimes they do get it right.
Broken clocks.
Can I? Oh.
Anyway, what I was saying,
yeah,
this movie's central theme is about honesty. And this movie is so honest.
It is.
And so, I mean, you know, this movie is obviously a romance about these two characters, and it starts pretty early on is when the characters meet.
Very.
And it actually spends like a significant chunk showing their whole first night together.
Yes.
You know, and what they do.
And I love that.
And there are so many awkward moments.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of stuff that you just don't see in movies. And it's not like awkward and like a charming, like a, oh, that's like, I'm so awkward. It's just like, it's the little things that happen to every conversation in real life.
Yep.
Like, there's lulls in conversation. Yep. You might drop something. You might have not heard what someone said.
Yeah.
Those are all things that like movie conversations mm-hmm. don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But right off the bat, I was like, this is just so real.
It is.
I just was not expecting that.
It really
all.
Seems like, and I think again, the direction by Bradley Coops was great because, you know, that first scene, he leaves a concert, he goes to a bar, and it seems like you're honestly watching like a live feed of somebody like going to a bar and hanging out and then meeting somebody. It seems, like you said, just super real.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few parts I will mention probably later that to me took me out of it a little bit, like a tiny little bit. But I agree, absolutely. It really does a good job of just representing what a, maybe not a normal life, but a real life interaction would be.
Yeah, like it's, you know, I've seen Bradley Cooper in a million movies. Sometimes it's like hard to separate actors from what they are. I bought him completely.
I wrote down, I'm trying to find it. I didn't bring my notebook to the theater, so I had a post-it notes in my car. So I have about 10 post-it notes that I had jotted all my notes down on. So that works out really well. But I wrote down, because both of them are such big stars in real life. Everyone knows who these two people are. And it's, you know, you think Gaga's going to be a musician, so it's going to be hard to not think of her as Lady Gaga. Cooper is going to be a good-looking, famous person. It's going to be hard to not think of him as Bradley Cooper. I think both their performances were so good. Not at from maybe the first second you see both of them on screen, you think, oh, that's them. And then after that, you are so sucked into their characters and their background. One thing I think this movie did really well, other than the direction, was, you know, like the mise-en-scene, like the everything in the settings were all so real. Like her house with her dad.
Yeah.
It seemed like they literally went to a suburb and were like, hey, can we use your house? Like none of it looked fake. It seemed so lived in. It seemed so real.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought both the actors did, the actor and the actress did such a good job of, I don't know. It blew me away because I thought it would be distracting having those two stars. I really did. And by the end, you're like, you're just sucked into it so much.
So, like, Lady Gaga is playing a character who's, like, insecure and shy, which, like, you know, like,
looking for approval. Yearning for approval, maybe.
Yeah. But, like, think about who Lady Gaga actually is. Yeah. Like, she's one of the world's biggest pop stars. She's not like that at all. Yep. I actually just recently watched her, like, documentary on Netflix.
Gaga?
I think it was called, like, 5'2" or something.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is me.
So, like, I just recently saw this, like, very personal look at what she's really like. So you would think that, like, having that fresh in my mind, juxtaposed with this very different character, would clash. But she does a great job. Bradley Cooper, who isn't even a musician, just the idea on paper of, like, a famous actor deciding to, like, play a musician and sing and try to, like, really own that role, it would almost never work. But Bradley Cooper just destroys it.
I absolutely think so. I think the opening scene is him at a concert, and it seems like he's a legitimate rock star. The song's actually pretty good. That song plays in the credits at the end, and I was literally singing along. I was like already into that. I was like, yes, this is one of my favorite songs.
It's great. Because
it comes back, and it was just so good. But he does it so well. And like both these characters go through huge struggles in this movie. You know, difficult paths, a lot of obstacles pop up. And it's just like both of them, again, I think it's just great performances that make you empathize with them so much and on like such a deep personal level. And it's just not anything. I think nobody expected this from this movie based on the trailers. The trailers make it seem like a country music love story.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of, I don't want to. For some reason, the word butterflies is popping into my mind, like butterflies and daisies. Like it just looks like a happy, simple love story, and it is so many more layers to it. It has so many more layers to it than that, and it's just, oh, I think it's a master class in directing and acting. I honestly do.
I completely agree. And this is one of those movies where as soon as I left the theater, I like texted my friends who I know appreciate good movies, but probably won't see this.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm like, you have to see this.
I did the same thing.
You absolutely have to.
I did the exact same thing.
Because if we weren't reviewing this for this show, it's possible that I would never see this.
I would never have seen it. I woke up this morning. I was like, God damn it. I have to go see this terrible movie. And I got to, well, I know some people were excited to see it. I got to the theater. There was an ambulance outside. So some people were probably dying to see it, actually. I went to the early bird special, too, on a Sunday morning. So it was all, I'd say, I was about 30 to 40 years younger than everyone. The old man sitting next to me actually offered me a kerchief when I started crying during the movie. So it was an interesting crowd. But I think a lot of people are going to skip this movie, which is a shame. I think word needs to get out. It's gotten rave reviews so far. But luckily, we're doing it on one of the nation's most popular podcasts. So
absolutely.
It should get a nice bump.
I think the second week box office should definitely be higher than that.
The quad F bump, I think is what they call it. Fast Food Field and Friends bump.
Unfortunately, the state of like the award season box office has become that like people just know if a movie is like Oscar-worthy, it's going to come out in like the 2 months preceding the Oscars.
Yeah.
And so I think people aren't even looking for those kind of movies yet.
No, they aren't.
You know? But like this absolutely deserves. I mean, obviously, I don't know what's to come between now and the 2019 Oscars, but I can guarantee that this deserves to be in consideration.
It absolutely does, and it's not only the acting; like the singing's phenomenal too. The soundtrack's great.
I mean, the music on its own. If this was just like an album that was released with no context, it would be a great album.
It would be, and it's not country. I really don't think it's country.
It's
more rock and roll. She gets poppy in it eventually, but you know, there's piano songs. She's just singing while she's playing a piano, and again, just not what I expected at all. I can't believe, like, I don't know if they did a good job of like keeping it kind of under wraps, or if they are going to shoot themselves in the foot by kind of misrepresenting what this movie is. But I'm glad they didn't give too much away.
I will say, so I've seen this trailer. Now,
this is a well-advertised film. This trailer's been all over the
place. I've seen this trailer easily 10 times in theaters alone.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I've told you, we've discussed before how I oftentimes avoid watching trailers if it's for something that I know I want to see.
Yeah.
And right off the bat, I just like decided that, I'll probably see this movie eventually, but I really don't care about the story or anything, so I'm just going to watch this trailer. Mm-hmm. So I watched it every single time. I like the moments in that trailer were like burned into my brain.
Yeah.
And there's moments in the trailer that seemed so cheesy.
Yes.
In the trailer, but then when it happened in the movie, they were like
deep,
like tear jerking.
Sam Elliott. I think of Sam Elliott's scene where he's talking about the octaves and everything, which comes towards the end.
Sam Elliott was fantastic.
If he doesn't win Best Supporting Actor for this movie, I'm gonna burn down every Academy member's house.
Everybody was so good.
It was a great movie. It was like, again, I wish we were arguing because I think people like it when we argue more. But
I personally think this is the most I've gushed over something on this show.
Oh, on this show, okay, yeah. I was gonna say I've seen you gush over some other things, but yeah, okay. On this show, yeah.
I mentioned how like the movie has so much of that like real down to earth honesty.
Mm-hmm.
The script, in particular, Bradley Cooper and Sam Elliott's relationship, they're brothers.
Yes.
And like the dialogue between them, if you were to just like read this dialogue on paper,
probably
from an artistic standpoint, it's like bad dialogue. You know what I mean? Like
it's not basic.
It's not like the kind of, you know, beautiful poetry you'd expect from like a high class movie. But like it is so real.
It's brother.
And there's like a minute long scene where mm-hmm. every line they just like drop at least one F-bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's just like, that is not like quote unquote good writing, but that is so real.
Okay. See, this brings me back to when we were talking Crazy Rich Asians and I said, nobody swore in that movie, not one person, and it didn't seem real and I didn't trust it. This movie, the exact opposite. A lot of F-bombs.
You trust them.
Trusted everyone. It made it feel real. It does. Because people
does,
fucking
absolutely.
Swear. And that's just what people do.
That scene in particular, I was just like, I was almost like laughing at like how much they were just saying it over and over. Yeah. But it's
some down home ranch brothers, you know. I will say, I called the ending of this movie. My fourth note was the ending. I called the ending.
Well, I'm excited to get into the spoiler segment to talk about that. But before we do that, I mean, do you have any final non spoilery like verdict opinions to give about this?
I will say, usually it's easy for me to pick a lot of bones. Or have a bone to pick with a movie. The only bone I think I have, well, the biggest bone I have is that one scene.
It's your femur.
It is my femur.
Yeah.
Second biggest bone, tibia.
Right.
But in this movie, and there's one scene where Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga are fighting. She's in a bath. There's a lot of drinking in this movie, so there's a lot of cocktails going around. This is a kind of close up on both their faces. And the ice cubes they used were just so fake that I couldn't handle it. It took me out. I was staring at the glass the entire scene. The little plastic ice cubes with the perfect bubbles inside that aren't melting for like a 2.5 minute scene just really irked me. I always look at the ice in movies because I'm always curious if they're using real or fake ice. I do. It's something I'm like...
Can you imagine the logistics of if they like were shooting for 6 hours and constantly refreshing?
They have a freezer and then they put new ice cubes in?
That's somebody's full-time job.
Ice is always changing. You know, it doesn't have to look the same in each scene. That's the point.
But that,
when
that's
you have the
a,
fake ice, it's like... What
is a huge opportunity for continuity errors. Imagine if they missed it at one point and the ice was like half the size here and the next scene, in the next shot it was like...
I know. It's tough. Big. But that's why you pay somebody big money to do it, Nathan. All right?
All right.
And you don't skimp and buy some fake plastic, cheap-looking ice cubes and then take me out of my movie.
Maybe. Did you consider that maybe those characters actually just use reusable ice cubes because they're very convenient?
You know, I would subscribe to that theory, but no, because they have fake bubbles in them. There's no room for real water in there. There was no way to put them in there. These weren't like whiskey stones, all right? Which... Maybe even use those. Why not use like the actual little whiskey stones? I don't know. That's the only thing that might take it out of the Oscar running. but other than the fake ice, I thought just great. Just so much more than I ever could have dreamt it to be.
You mentioned that first scene where Bradley Cooper is like playing a show and like that you love that song. Right off the bat, that first scene, like this film, just from a technical standpoint of like visuals and audio, is mind-blowing.
It is.
Good. And that scene is like, the cameraman is on stage with Bradley Cooper, right in his face, mm-hmm. and is like flying around stage and getting all these crazy spin shots, mm-hmm. and you are getting these most amazing angles.
Yeah.
But what I love is that the like audio mixing in that scene, you're not hearing like what you would think of like what the soundtrack sounds like.
Yeah.
What you hear is like what you would actually hear if you stuck your head next to Bradley Cooper's face while he's performing a concert. Like you're mostly getting his vocals.
Yep.
You're getting kind of muffled music
mm-hmm.
and like the crowd noise and everything. There's so much work that went into making this movie.
Oh yeah.
So grounded. So
is
real.
Is this Bradley Cooper's first director role?
I'm gonna look that up real quick because I actually have been meaning to check.
Because if it is, just well done to Bradley Cooper.
Yeah.
It is.
This is his first one. He has one upcoming movie.
Wow.
And that's it.
I'm going to see that new one.
You said, this is like a masterclass in directing.
It really is.
It is stunning how good it is.
I have to kind of hate the guy because he's just got it all.
Right. I mean, like, once you have enough, just
stop.
Just swallow your role.
Leave the great direction to other people. You know, you got those baby blue eyes. You got that $1 million smile. You got gorgeous hair. You got a chiseled bod.
I just can't get over how, like you said, beyond the first few minutes when you're like, oh yeah, that's Bradley Cooper playing guitar.
You never think of it
again. At no point did I think this is Bradley Cooper. Like, he is this character.
Oh man,
he's phenomenal.
Fuck. Yeah, it's just good. I hate that we're agreeing so much. I hope you hate the KFC bowl so we can fight over something, but I guarantee that you love it because it is the A Star Is Born of fast food.
Well, I was going to say, let's get to our verdicts.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say anything more about this movie, and I recommend it to absolutely everybody and anybody.
Yep.
I have no reservations about this movie at all. I don't even have like, oh yeah, go into it, but like keep this in mind. Nothing.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And you know what I think is interesting to me? Because there was, like I said, I went to the Early Bird Special on Sunday. $6 for a movie ticket, which is pretty nice, actually, for a weekend. So it was all older people, and there's parts in the show, you know, they're at a drag show. I wouldn't think my grandparents would be like laughing or like thinking it was, they'd probably be like, oh, that's a little weird. People like, I think again, because it's just so real. And like those, even the characters at the drag show are like, they're so, it's how real people would act, you know, when they see a famous person and they're like giddy. And it's just interesting. And they were laughing at parts where I was like, oh, people wouldn't normally find this funny. And I think this film, like you said, is literally going to appeal to everyone. Just like the KFC Famous Bowl.
I have no complaints about the Famous Bowl either. I don't know if I would have to really give it some thought before saying it's, you know, like one of the greatest fast food items, but I mean, I have no complaints.
How much is a Famous Bowl, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, it was like $6.
Each?
Yeah.
Oof. See, that's steep.
It is steep, but I will say,
it's a hearty dinner.
I'm full.
It's like a Thanksgiving dinner.
It really is.
But with chicken.
But with chicken.
No stuffing.
Considering how much protein you get in this, and just the quality of ingredients... Everything about it.
What do you know about the quality of ingredients in this bowl?
I know my tongue's happy.
Well, that's, I guess, quality. Yeah, that's fair. I don't think they're locally sourcing it or anything like that, but it seems like it's good stuff, at least.
So we've got some spoilers to talk about for this movie, but before we do that, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
Today's show is brought to you by, sorry, last one, the cigarette case with a false bottom that provides you a convenient excuse not to lend that annoying stranger a cigarette. When that inevitable stranger comes up and asks you to bum a cig, take out your sorry last one case, pair it with the shoulder shrug, and watch them sulk away while keeping all your real cigarettes hidden in the case's secret compartment. Sorry, last one, the only cig case that will keep your cig safe from stranger danger.
And we're back, and it's time for our spoiler snack segment, the part of the show where we talk full spoilers and we eat a snack. And today's snack is actually KFC's chocolate chip cookies.
Just like Mama used to make.
So these chocolate chip cookies look pretty good. I just split one in half because we got three. Chocolate is nice and melty, and I'm ready to take a bite.
You actually just caught me with the cookie literally in my mouth while you were talking, and I realized I should wait.
I'm glad that you found an ounce of respect
before
you did that.
A little bit. You a baker? You do any bacon?
Dabble.
You dabble? If you're,
I don't, by the way.
Okay.
But continue.
Good to know. I like to just say I dabble in things that I don't dabble in either. When you were a kid, what was like the cookie you wanted your parents to make? Was it a chocolate chip? Was it an M&M? Was it a sugar?
Chocolate chip is a classic. I don't think there is a better cookie in the entire world.
I think oatmeal. I like oatmeal chocolate chip.
I like them, just not quite as much.
Okay. I think these are, they're pretty flat, which I think is a sign of a good bake. I've been watching some Great British Bake Off. Like you said, the chocolate chips are very nice, gooey, like a commercial that you would see them pulled apart in.
And the dough is a little dry.
Yeah, there's something missing. So I don't know if they're a little, you know, they're not fresh out of the oven because we've been blabbing about how much we love this movie. Sorry, gushing about how much we love this movie, as you previously stated.
Pouring our hearts out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the chocolate chips are really nice and soft. But I have a feeling I don't think all the moistness was there and then left in the time we've been talking. I think these are just kind of lacking in that regard.
Yeah. It could be. I don't know.
I mean, for something that you get in a drive-thru.
If my mom baked these for me, I wouldn't scream at her about messing them up.
Well, I would throw these at the wall if your mom baked these for me.
Well, yeah. I know you don't like how she bakes.
But if I paid $1.50 for three of these in a drive-thru.
That's how much they are. $1.50 for three?
Yeah. It's a pretty good deal.
50 cents a piece. Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, have you seen a chocolate chip market lately? Way up.
Venezuela, I feel like, is where it's all happening. But this all goes back to Bernie Sanders in some form.
You're absolutely right. I'll have to write a letter.
So, I want to make very clear. Mm. We're about to talk spoilers for A Star Is Born. If you, our listener, have any interest in seeing this movie ever, please turn this episode off right now.
Stop listening. Stop.
And if you, for
Tony,
some reason...
Tony, turn it off right now.
It's the app.
Close the app.
He does not know how to use
his
phone.
Every week.
If you, for some reason, don't have interest in this movie, I want you to see this so badly.
If you haven't seen it, and you're planning on seeing it, and you continue to listen, it's not going to be the same movie that it was for us.
No.
It's not going to be the same experience.
No, it's not.
So please, stop listening.
But I mean, I personally feel like if I take away the experience of somebody seeing this movie being unspoiled, I will feel bad.
I agree.
Which is why I'm begging you to only listen after this point if you've seen this movie. That being said, I was bawling my eyes out when the credits rolled.
Man, it was sad. It was sad. I had kind of finished up my crying by the end there. I had kind of finished up, but it was that close-up of her face that it ended on. And
can I tell you why it was the credits that got me? Why it was the very last moment?
Why?
So, him dying, I mean, it blew me away. I could not believe that that's actually how this movie ended. But what really got me, this is basically like what my mind was going through in the last couple minutes. So, it's like you're seeing her performing the song as a tribute to him.
Yeah.
She's performing the song, and the song, to me, the lyrics felt very on the nose about death.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like this is a good song, but like it's you know, it's very specific. Like, it's not the kind of thing that like you could take a lot away. It's like it pretty much was one specific thing about this guy's life and death.
Yeah.
And that's what I was thinking. And she's singing the chorus. I forget how the exact words go. Basically, it's just about saying goodbye and never loving again. Else. And then there's that shot where it shows them writing it together. And you realize the song isn't even necessarily about death.
They didn't write it together. That's the one he wrote for her that she found in the notebook.
Okay.
He wrote that. That was they cut to the first time he sang it for her.
And I guess that's what I meant is like, she didn't write this.
Them workshopping.
She didn't write this after he died. This song isn't even a song necessarily about death.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song about love.
Yeah.
And grief is just like an expression of love,
man.
And so once you hear that song in that context, you're thinking, oh yeah, this is very obviously about this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hear the song in any other context, it can be so many things.
It can. Did you, so he dies, he hangs himself, which in the beginning, this is what I said when I called it, when he's first going to the drag club, he's leaving the show, they're driving, they take a right. And there's a billboard with like four nooses on it in the background. And I literally wrote down noose foreshadowing, thinking he was going to hang himself. And then like three-fourths of the way through the movie, he says that he tried to kill himself at age 13. And it didn't work. The ceiling fan fell out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit, maybe I was right about that. And then when that happened, I was like, oh fuck.
I remember when that billboard was in view, that was like all I was looking at and thinking about. But because like you can only partially see it, but it's like got a rainbow background with nooses. And I'm assuming
it's like
that it's about
statistic about how many gay
like
people
LGBT
kill themselves.
Suicide rates. Yeah. And that's what I was thinking. And so I was, and then like they go to the drag club after that. And so I was thinking, oh, this is like a direct commentary. Like this is like that's, and I didn't really think of it much more than that. In terms of this film story.
Yeah.
But that's you're totally right. That's completely foreshadowing.
And I was like, because it's even like kind of his head driving by it too. You know, he's in the shot with it, and I was like, oh dang. After he kills himself, and oh my god, that dog, that poor, he makes his dog a steak, which is like just so touching, but then the dog just lays down outside the garage, and you kind of, like, it's, I like the way I obviously don't like that he killed himself, but the way they showed it, they don't show his whole body hanging, they show probably, like, middle of his torso to, like, middle of his chest, you see it through, like, those tiny garage door windows, and it's just swaying so slightly, it's not like he's swinging around, it's like, a little movement, and it just holds long enough on that shot where you're like, oh shit, he actually did it. He actually did it. But there's no score, there's no background music after that until Lady Gaga sings that song. They cut out the music, and I thought that was like, the music's gone from her life. I thought that was a really cool little way to go about that. I was like, because it was silent for so long. There was just, you know, conversations. But throughout the whole movie, there's background music and kind of, you know, I thought that was just kind of cool. But
yeah, you're totally in her. And I love like how that shot of her at her concert perfectly fades into her playing at her home. And it's like, it's seamless. And it's, you're totally in her like mindset of like, what comes next?
Yeah.
You know, like, well, what do I do? What, how does this end? Where do I go from
here? And it's just her kind of around the house, you know, sitting, and you just think like, you know, when you love somebody that much, and that happens, like, what, how do you move on? You know, what do you, what do you do in the weeks after that, when you're just riddled with grief and you're absolutely miserable and you have nothing to do other than sit at home, really? Oh man, it was painful stuff. Truly painful stuff. I think, you know, an interesting part of this movie too, obviously he's an alcoholic, he's a drug addict, whatever pills he's popping. I thought it was really interesting the first night they meet. You know, he's at a bar. He goes to this bar because he's basically just a huge alcoholic. He runs. He's getting driven home, and he runs out of a bottle of gin in the back. Stops for a gin. Meets her, blah, blah, blah. But they go to another bar, and he gets a drink and just basically, like, in two gulps, slams it. And she looks at him like, you're an alcoholic. Like, she gives him a really kind of dirty... Like, she looks at the glass, and he's kind of like, holy shit, this guy's an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And you can tell... That I was like, oh, so she's either got a good eye for that or like knows somebody during her life who's an alcoholic. And I think her dad, it's implied, was an alcoholic because she says to him, like, he's an alcoholic. You know all about that.
Yeah.
To her dad at some point. Who's Andrew Dice Clay, who I thought actually did a pretty good job in this. Yeah. Because usually he's a goofy guy.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah, she, you definitely got that sense that right off the bat, she sees the warning signs.
Yes.
And I mean, it's like, it's the kind of thing that when you see it on a movie and you're, it's like there's moments throughout the film where you're like yelling at the screen, like, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is Bradley Cooper making decisions? Why is Lady Gaga staying with him?
Yep.
Like, but like, life is so much more complicated. Well, yeah. Than that. Like, it's not, their lives are built around each other. I can't even begin to like put myself in those shoes, but like, she owes, not like, not literally owes, but like everything that she has that, like, later in the movie at that point in life,
it's because he brought her on stage.
He helped her.
That was the first time I cried when she was he pulled her on stage and she like just is singing. And she did such a good job of being like a, because she's a performer. She's performed in probably some of the biggest concert arenas in the world. It was probably some of the biggest crowds in the world. And her playing somebody who had never been on a stage like that before was so real and just, you know, like a tears and covering her face and like it literally, she played being nervous to go on stage so well.
She did.
And that's what, again, it's one of those things that takes you away from Lady Gaga. It's like, oh, that it's so far from your mind.
Yeah.
Because she literally seems like a nobody who, that was her first, you know, big break. And then her excitement about it being a hit on YouTube with her dad. Like, yeah, all of it is just that. So real. I loved her dad and her dad's friends. Like, they, that was a good group of guys.
I mentioned earlier how there was like stuff in the trailer. Mm-hmm. I'd seen it a million times. The song that she sings in the trailer, which she sings probably like a third of the way through this movie, I've heard it so many times. I've heard that her, you know, hit those notes.
Yep.
That exact song.
Yeah.
But when it happens in this movie, it is one of the most powerful moments I've seen in a movie, like, in a long time. Like, I was just pure chills. At like every second was just like, I can barely handle like the emotions that I'm feeling right now.
I'm telling you, man, it was, it was just crazy. I thought this movie also did a good job of, you know, it tied into kind of the real world in a few ways. Like, they did an episode of SNL in it.
Yeah,
and I thought it was great. They got Alec Baldwin on the real set and like...
And stuff like that.
Bradley Cooper, you know, walking back, he's been sober for a bit, but he hates the way kind of she's gotten poppy and kind of sold out. So he goes back and grabs a beer. And it's like, that's the same SNL path that you see people walk down all the time on the show and monologues and things like that. It was just really cool.
Oftentimes, I would say most of the time, stuff like that in movies takes me out of the movie. Because I'm like, oh yeah, like we're not, like we're pretending that like Anderson Cooper exists in this movie's universe.
Yes.
And this is dumb. But as soon as they said SNL and they actually showed the set, at no point did I think like, oh, NBC let them shoot this movie here. I'm like, I was just into it. Like, this is a real artist. And this is like the kind of, I was even thinking, I personally love watching SNL. It's one of my highlights, you know, the week is like recording it, watching it Sunday afternoon. And so often I'll see a performance on there by an artist I don't know. And it'll just be really interesting. And I'm like, I want to listen to more of that person's music. And the music that she plays on SNL is like, in the context of the story, it's supposed to be kind of like her going poppy and sort of like selling out a little bit.
Dumb lyrics. And
but it's like, in my opinion, if I saw that song being performed on SNL by by an artist I didn't know, I would be so into it.
Oh, it's a catchy tune. I mean, it's a catchy tune. She's got a good, you know, dance troupe. It does look like, because, you know, there's been SNL performances where I don't know the person, I'm not familiar with the music, and I'm like, yeah, it's a good pop song. Yeah, it's catchy. It was totally believable like that, and it would be a hit. The name she sings in the song, one of the lyrics is like, "This is not like me." And she says that a few times in the song, and I thought it's like it's a very good, like, hey, she's kind of sold out. Her fucking manager. Oh, can we talk about how much you hate that manager? Please tell me you hate that piece of shit.
Well,
he did a great job managing her career. I guess I'll give him that. He did, because he got her 3 Grammys, worldwide tour.
By the end, especially.
Oh, yeah. He's the one who...
Right. I mean, it's the last straw, I think.
Yeah, he shits all over Jack. And it's... Jack is Bradley Cooper. We haven't used their real names because it's Lady Gaga and
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. But yeah, the manager is like, you ruined her life. She can't do anything. You're embarrassing. She's sacrificing her career for you.
And like, there's a part of me that just wants to know, because like these characters are so real to me, and I like think of them as real people, like even beyond the movie.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that wants to know that manager. I want to see that manager's face when he finds out
that he killed himself.
And I want to know if that's the kind of guy that would feel remorse.
I don't think he would.
Or do you think that was actually part of why he said it? Because he thinks it would be advantageous for him to literally be dead.
I think he thinks it would be advantageous for him to divorce her or leave her alone. You know, I think he's trying to push him out. I don't think he wants him to kill himself. But I also think, you know, if you get that news and you're that guy, there's either you're not going to care, or it's going to be like a life changing, like, oh shit, I need to stop doing what I'm doing and like being so heartless and ruthless. And I don't see that little guy doing that. I don't know. I hated that guy. The second he comes on, he's like, he nails like the skeezy. He's not even skeezy because
the way he comes up to her is like he's trying to like sell
I'll give you
her
whatever
something.
You want.
Yeah,
I can get you wherever you need to be. I'm in the position, he says, to put you wherever you want to be. So the question is, where do you want to be? And it's like, yeah, he's like a used car salesman. We can fit so much career into your life.
It's actually interesting how. In that scene, so our two main characters are like walking together off stage. The manager approaches her.
Yep.
Bradley Cooper just keeps walking.
Yeah.
Because he knows what's happening. He's like, all right, whatever. Like, this guy's going to talk to her.
Yep.
And like, it just makes you wonder what would have happened had he stayed there and just like called this guy on his bullshit.
Yeah.
And been like, oh, don't listen to this guy.
Yeah. I think it would have been a totally different career for her.
Maybe she wouldn't have blown up.
Yeah. You know? I agree.
But I mean, this movie's the morality is just so gray.
Yeah,
there is so little black and white, and I love that. Yeah. Like nobody comes out of this movie
unscathed.
Looking great.
Yes, I mean everyone slips up. It's real. You know, everyone makes a mistake. He goes back to drinking. You know, she kind of sells out a bit and doesn't stay true to her. You know, singing on a piano by herself mode. She dyes her hair because her manager wants her to dye her hair. Everyone kind of messes up a bit.
And another moment, I would honestly, I think there's 3 moments that I cried. There's her performance when she's brought on stage.
Yep.
And then there's the very last shot where you find out Bradley Cooper wrote the song.
Mm-hmm.
The other one for me was when
Sam Elliott,
his final shot.
Yes. Oh my God. I was a mess. I was, I think I cried hardest there. Cause it's that masculine, like, don't cry.
Yes.
You can tell he's trying so hard not to cry. I'm about to cry right now. Just literally my eyes are starting to water. Bradley Cooper, they're brothers. They've been fighting the whole time. And Sam Elliott thinks, like, Bradley Cooper basically was his dad's drinking buddy and, like, never believed in him. And, like, Sam Elliott kind of raised him a bit. And one thing, oh, my God, I'm actually going to cry. Bradley Cooper, this whole movie, doesn't apologize until he's sober after rehab. There's a lot of scenes where he's like, I need to say, like, I did Like, he never actually says, I'm sorry. He apologizes to her, finally. And then when he's getting driven home from rehab, he's, like, stumbling through his words. He can barely get it out. And then he says, like, Dad wasn't my... I didn't idolize Dad. I idolized you. And just, like, shuts the door. And you know he's going in crying. And I'm literally crying. And Sam Elliott, like, just puts it in reverse. But it's, like, that... It's probably a, what, 7-second shot of his face? But there's so much emotion, so much history, so much just... That tells you about that relationship. Oh my God.
Like, all the things that aren't being said.
Yes.
It's and like that so much more than what is, and that what wouldn't is
be
being said.
That's the thing. It's like a brother wouldn't be like, that's what a brother would do, is like barely get it out and never talk about it again, probably. But that's like such a, that's probably the happiest like moment he's ever had in terms of his relationship with his brother. Like, oh, man, that one got me good, and it's currently getting me again. That's the thing about a movie that makes you just believe the characters are real so well, is, like, those tiny little things you relate to so well. I don't have a brother, but if I did, yeah, that would be a big-ass moment for me.
I know. Like,
oh, man. And Sam Elliott, yeah, he deserves something for this. I thought he just did great. And I love Sam Elliott in everything he's in. I just love that guy.
And so often he plays like kind of like a tongue-in-cheek. Like, I'm thinking like,
yeah,
Big Lebowski.
Yep.
Or even like his character in Parks and Recreation.
Oh, yeah.
He's almost kind of like poking fun at a Sam Elliott type character.
Yeah.
I've seen him in some of these roles and he's kind of hard to take seriously. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever bought a relationship in a movie more than those two brothers.
Yeah.
Part of why... That final moment between Sam Elliott and Bradley Cooper is so powerful is because of, like, the masculine reaction of, like, I need to leave right now.
Yeah,
exactly. Because, like, it, again, if this was, like, a more poetic, more, like, movie script conversation, it would have gone on for a few minutes.
Yeah.
But Bradley Cooper just says one little thing that really, like, could have spurred a whole new conversation, but he just says a little thing.
Yep.
And leaves the car.
And he says it so quick, too, because you can tell he's about to lose it.
Yeah, and he, like, turns his head halfway through saying it.
He does.
And, like, Sam Elliott doesn't even have to go anywhere. He could just sit there and think about it, but he's like, I need to leave because...
I need to act like everything's normal.
Exactly. And that tension of, like, not being able to say what you want to because you're a man.
Yeah.
That is a feeling that weighs on all men.
Oh, yeah.
Of, like,
it's
there are things that you want to do and say.
Yeah.
No matter how close you are, it could be your brother, it could be a stranger, anybody.
Dad, yeah.
And you just, you can't bring yourself to do it.
Yeah, or you just don't, you can't. Yeah, you don't. It's that, you know, you see, like when he's backing out in that scene, you know, I just could feel how tight his jaw would be clenched, you know, trying not to cry like that. Like, your lips pursed, like you know exactly what he's going through in that moment. Yeah, man, God, that moment was, Bradley Cooper made a really good movie. Did you, so she kind of, after the SNL performance, she gets kind of more poppy, and they show her at like one of her concerts or something, or at some event, and she's like full on, like, Ariana Grande mode by that point, basically,
mm-hmm.
And at her concert, I noticed they had a iHeartRadio symbol in the background, and I thought that is like the perfect way to say like she's gone mainstream,
yeah,
and like kind of sold out the iHeartRadio. I was like, yeah, that's, she's like sea-cresting it right now, I liked that a little bit. I thought Chappelle was great. You know, he has a small part.
Yeah, very small, but it was a really good role.
And it was another really real, like, his kids were real, his wife was real. His kids were, like, literally, there was a part where they're talking about, because that's where Bradley Cooper proposes, and his kids in the background just, like, screaming about candy, like, over some conversation. It was, like, a small thing, but I was like, normally, like, they'd at least, like, put the kid out of the shot or, like, have it be quiet or something like that, and it was just like, yeah, that's how life is. It's a family like that, you know. Your kids are going to be screaming about candy at some point.
I definitely, when I saw the trailer for this movie like 43 times, and you see like a single line from Dave Chappelle,
yeah,
and I was like, this very cynical side of me was like, they just had to throw in like a comedian who would appeal to more people.
Yeah,
put him in one shot in the trailer just to get people like, oh, Dave Chappelle's in this, and it works because I was thinking every time,
yeah,
oh yeah, Dave Chappelle's in this.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't show up in the movie till like 2/3 of the way through.
Late.
I mean, by the time, like, the stuff that's happening when we get to his house, I thought the movie was getting ready to end.
Yeah.
And it has like 40 plus minutes left after that.
And I like that, you know, there's from the trailer, from what you see, you know, he says something like, I've known you for a long time, so I'm worried about you. You would expect them to go into kind of like a whole backstory, explain the history, how they know each other, what, you know, what he did, because it seems like he's kind of out of the business and just being a family man now, what his aspirations were, was he in the music industry, how they know each other, all of that stuff. And it doesn't. He literally wakes up on his lawn, they have a conversation about him being worried about him, and that's it. And I was like, that's such a, it's an unusual way to introduce a character and like have a strong connection between two characters like that. But it's like, it just fits with the movie so well. And that's, I think it's the pacing, and I think it's how real everything seems. It doesn't matter how, you know, that they have shared experiences. Like, mm-hmm. you can tell they've been through similar things. He's kind of a mentor-ish to him. But I love that they didn't, you know, do like a flashback to them on the road or something like that. Like,
yeah, it, what I actually was thinking about, so horror movies, mm-hmm. I think a really effective horror movie is one that knows exactly how much to leave to your imagination.
Yes.
Because what's in your head is more terrifying than anything you'll ever see depicted on screen.
That's just like what I thought of Dave Chappelle's and Bradley Cooper's history together.
Yeah.
It had to be more, the most terrifying.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Blood everywhere.
Oh,
who knows?
So much blood.
This movie implies so much using so little.
Mm-hmm.
And like very small bits of dialogue can like invoke in your mind a whole backstory.
Yeah.
Like, so I saw this movie with my fiance and we were talking about it afterwards. And she said at one point, she's like, so what was Dave Chappelle's relationship with Bradley Cooper? And I thought about it and I was like, I realized like whatever relationship they had in my mind, I just made up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's but like I have a whole backstory in my head, even though there's none in the movie.
Yes.
And the same goes for his relationship with his brother, with like Lady Gaga's life. Like we know hardly anything about her. We know about what her dad does for work and that she just like is talented but is a waitress. But I have like all these ideas of like how her life is gone.
Yeah. And they don't waste time on it.
That is, it's like, I mean, it's a combination of dialogue and acting.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so artful. It's it's like such a careful, it's hard to even describe, but it's so much of this is implied in your head, which makes it more personal, you know? You relate to everything so much more because of that.
Yes.
Because you're applying your own opinions and experiences and building, to these characters.
I think you build the strongest connection that you can in your head. Oh, I don't know, man. This is a powerful, powerful movie.
It is.
Oh, God. This episode's going to be just us gushing.
Yeah, we're running super long. I mean, I don't really have much more to say. Again, I could go on forever, but...
One thing I will say. Did you think... I thought it was a little creepy with her. I thought it was kind of a creep.
No, absolutely. I think he very much, in the beginning, is, like, coming on to her too hard. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, like, when I said that she kind of sees those warning signs. Like, when he's in the dressing room and he's, like, being touchy, I think you can, like, see on her face that she's already wary of, like, what are this guy's intentions?
Yeah.
And so from that point, she's kind of, like... maybe like a little bit standoffish.
Yeah.
It's not until they like bond throughout the night that she kind of opens up. And then it like culminates in the moment when she like sings in the parking lot.
Yes.
That's when she really finally just like opens up to him. Like it takes a while to get to that point.
And I think there's a line before we bring, because after that, he like sends his driver the next day, like, bring her to my gig, flies her out to the gig,
mm-hmm.
which I think, again, is like having your driver follow her around until she gets in the car. Yeah. It's a little creepy.
I like how the driver acknowledges that.
Yeah. Like, I can't leave. I'm sorry. I'll be here. But he gets her on stage, but before she comes out, he's like, all you have to do is trust me. And I think that's the point where she like realizes like he's actually trying to help me. Like he does believe in me as like a singer, and wants me to make it. He's not just like trying to get with me. But yeah, I thought it was a little creepy with the eyebrow thing. He sucks her finger to get her ring off.
Right.
It's a bold move to put somebody's full finger in your mouth on a first date. Regardless of any injury,
that's
a bold move.
That's definitely a third date.
Yeah, you're at a grocery store. Go get some butter. You don't need to use your mouth.
But yeah, I think it goes back to what I said. How like no one in this movie is like all good or all bad. Like he, despite his good intentions, he does weird stuff in the beginning. Obviously, he's a tragically flawed person.
Yeah.
And by the end, but man, I like, we've probably said the word real about 30 times in this podcast, but I cannot say it enough that like this is just the most realistic story yeah. I've seen on screen.
And he did
in a long time.
And he did like an accent the whole time too. Like he did it. He did an accent. It seemed like he had like a different mouth shape even than normal Bradley Cooper. Like the yeah. way he talked was different. Not just the voice and what came out, but like the literal motion of his mouth is not what Bradley Cooper looks or talks like in real life.
Like all of his mannerisms.
Yeah, were are, so
it's
real.
I would say that.
I would say real. I know we, you know, to throw a new word in the mix there. But yeah, just it's a real. I
you said it again.
I will probably go see it again. It's a real good movie. Is what I was gonna say.
All right, we should wrap things up here.
I think the main point of this movie, well, not the main point at all, but one of my main takeaways was just like, man, pure happenstance. Like, he happens to take a ride on that street, and she becomes a pop star because he ran out of gin, because that driver forgot to get a backup bottle of gin is the reason she becomes a pop star. And in my head, it's like, you know, some guy decided to pop some chicken and some oil and then mix it with mashed potatoes, corn, and gravy and throw some cheese on top. And that's...
And both have changed the world.
Both have changed the world. That's what I'm saying. Happenstance. You can be a pop star or you can be a KFC famous bull. Either way, a star is born.
You can find all of our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Anchor.fm, Stitcher, or wherever else you find your podcasts.
Feel free to follow us on Instagram at Fast Food Film Friends or get at us on Twitter at FFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFFF stuff, so I'm gonna stop saying that, I think.
It is fastfoodfilmfriends@gmail.com.
That should work.
In case you want to be the first.
That should work. Drop us a note. Let us know what we should do next. Tell us if you hated this movie so we can find you and kill you.
Until then.
Farewell.
I'm keeping it.